Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
Do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Yeah, we sure do. We're still offering our annual forecast model and our other newsletters at 50% off. You go to VRTrader.com and you enter the promo code 2022 half off. And you enter that in the promo code slot and you get 50% off of the annual 2024 annual forecast model. And also, if you want to subscribe to several or more newsletters, we'll be more than happy to have you as a client. Also want to disclose that I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. We just produce our Leibovit newsletters and go from there.
Now, Mark, you have a number of newsletters, not just one. Can you maybe just run those down for new listeners?
Yeah, I'm going to have to remember some of that. I have quite a few, but I'm sure we'll cover it here. So the one in particular is interesting, of course, is the blockchain letter, which is the, Bitcoin and all the other cryptos that are out there. And we've had this up for a couple of years and tracking it, and we have some really huge gains in some of the crypto plays that we've been talking about. And as you know, it's been really hot, so that's been a hot letter for us in terms of interest, which has grown. You know, disbelievers when cryptos are down, and now they love crypto when it's up and running. So that's one of them. We have our Canna Sector Report, which is our cannabis letter, and that's also hot now. It's starting to run. We'll talk about that in a moment. Just when everything out there appeared to be doom and gloom, and there's suddenly big volume and buying coming into the cannabis stocks. So sleeping dogs lie, and then sometimes they wake up, right? So, and then we've got our metal resource letter covering, all the resource plays from oil and gas to gold and silver to lithium to uranium and so forth. They're covered in there. And then we have our book, the Trader's Book of Volume, which is available. And we have our flagship letter, which is the Platinum letter, which just covers everything. That would be the one I would recommend new subscribers to sign in for, because we just cover all the markets. Not as specific as we do in the others, but we do cover them. And of course, we have our VR forecaster, which we just mentioned, which is our annual report, which is our cyclical forecast for the major markets. And finally, we have our market timing letter, which just gives buy and sell signals on the indexes. I have to caution that we trade quite a bit in that market. You know, we could be long the market one day and short 2 days later, and we're not taking long-term views there. We try to catch day-to-day or week-to-week swings in some of the indexes. And then, point of fact, with the market up so strong the last couple of days, we actually took short positions in some of the indexes.
So let's take a look at marijuana. What's going on there? Are hints that the federal government in the U.S. might legalize it or decriminalize it?
Yeah, that's the story. What's her name? Our vice president went to the White House.
Vice President Harris?
Kamala. She had a meeting this past weekend, or I think it was on Monday, and she's out there to try to, promote legalization of marijuana and deschedule it from the number one ranking, down to three. And, there's also the Banking Act out there, which is hung up in Congress for the last several years, you know, to free up the movement of money and the ability to have credit cards and banking and not to be doing business in cash, because federally, you know, it's an illegal substance because it's on that Schedule One. So, you know, those states have legalized it. You know, many banks don't want to have accounts with cannabis companies. So, you know, all these things are pending. The more likely one is there's a lot of congressional pressure now to deschedule the marijuana from the one level to the three level. You know, senators writing letters, Kamala Harris talking about it. So as a result of that, the stocks have perked up. And in particular, the U.S. cannabis stocks, and that's what we've been, you know, talking about trading and having positions. And many of these in the last few years have been profitable, making money here in the U.S. And unlike the Canadian counterparts like Canopy Growth and Tilray and so forth, Cronos, others just fell out of bed, oversupplied, all the reasons that we have talked about previously. So, that's happening now in the anticipation of the descheduling, and that's more likely to happen than the Banking Act passing. But, you know, there's still people in business, you know, doing this. There's a big demand for cannabis in all its forms, and, you know, a lot of elderly people, senior people I know here in Arizona and Sun City and so forth are CBD proponents, and that doesn't have a THC component in it, which is what makes you high, but there are medications that have some of that THC in it and do help people. And this has been around thousands of years. You know, this is not something new. You know, it's like saying gold's been forever and it's always here. Well, cannabis has been here as well, and what's so great about it is, you know, you're not going to die from it. I mean, you know, I don't have records in front of me, and I'm sure there might be an instance somewhere, but it doesn't have the side effects that, you know, prescription drugs do. And, you know, I just, you know, if it helps you, I would say, you know, definitely talk to a practitioner about using it or do some of your own research. But the stocks are livening up here, so you're going to see more of a run coming.
On the crude oil front, what's the story there?
Still strong. There's still an uptrend. You know, we traded a little bit. I took a little profits at a couple of them yesterday, and looking to repurchase them too on a pullback. Got a little ahead of themselves. But what's going on primarily is crude oil has been inching up. Saudi Arabia has been cutting back on production. There is demand for the crude oil worldwide. You know, less interest in EV, electric vehicles, electronic vehicles, because of, you know, the inability to charge them, the expense of the vehicles, and more people purchasing, as I did, a hybrid vehicle where you can use gas or EV if you choose to do so. So there are crude oil has been a bit of an uptrend here for a while. And, you know, and also what's going on, you have acquisitions, you know, occurring. Big one is Exxon going after Pioneer Gas, for example. So, you know, there's this consolidation in the industry is also positive. So I'm still a bull on oil. I'm not saying you can't have some corrections in it, but if you're in some of these stocks that are emerging or coming together, like the Pioneer Gas Exxon deal, you know, definitely there's some trading opportunities there. So, we, you know, at some point we'll get a little bit of a pullback here. They had a nice run here, but one of the others that are doing still well is Warren Buffett, Berkshire Hathaway's favorite, Occidental Petroleum, which I've mentioned numerous times on this broadcast. And he's authorization, for what I understand, to buy up to half the company. He's also said he's not looking to take it over, but that's a big support for one of the most successful funds on the planet. So I don't think you're going to lose money long-term in Occidental Petroleum with Warren Buffett involved. It doesn't pay a big dividend, but it's still, you know, he sees a lot of potential in it, and they have some interesting technology. So that's part and parcel to it. So I would say remain a bull on the oil, and, you know, we trade it accordingly.
Now, I don't know how you trade interest rates, but I guess it's connected to bonds. The U.S. Fed holding the line on interest rates, the Bank of England, the Bank of Canada doing the same. Japan hiking rates for the first time in 17 years to effectively zero. So they're no longer in negative territory. And the Swiss National Bank or Central Bank lowered their rate 0.5%. Are the Swiss the first to crack among the major countries about lowering rates?
Well, the U.S. essentially has already because, you know, they stopped raising now for several consecutive rates, and every 3 seconds on the financial television you're hearing about when the next or when the first rate cut is going to occur. And the the joke about the whole thing, my opinion is that, you know, we're still going into a recession. You know, it's not being talked about. The stock market goes up, so everybody thinks everything is just great. A lot of it has to do with misinformation on the public released deficits and so forth, and what the producer price index is saying. A lot of these numbers are distorted. So, you know, I think we're going to pay the piper at some point, but I think what's happening is the Fed has kept money really loose. In other words, despite the talk about lowering rates, but before this, when they were raising rates, the money supply has not really come down. They kept it loosey-goosey, mainly because of the problems with some of the regional banks. And there's a whole list I have in my newsletter. I put it out every night about banks that are in trouble or potentially in trouble out there. So they're keeping the money spigots open behind the scenes. So unrelated to the interest rate discussion, which seems to just overwhelm everybody's discussion, unlike what Paul Volcker did, back in 1979-80, where he made it more difficult to borrow money, tightened credit, not only raised interest rates, but this Fed hasn't done that. And that's one of the reasons that stock market has moved up. There's still plenty of liquidity swashing around out there, a lot of money around. So it's a lot of BS. You know, you sit there, watch Jay Powell in front of the press, and everybody's tongue is hanging out when he's going to lower rates 0.25%. Well, as long as he keeps money flowing, and he's mainly doing it, I guess, to keep the banks from going under, the ones that have problems. And we did see the banking stocks do well today as they're pushing higher. And that makes sense, you know. He's letting money flow, and they're not tightening credit, and it's happy days are here again. So, regardless of the interest rates, the stock market into new highs, and you know they would argue, oh, this is because we anticipate lower rates. Well, you know, there's still inflation. They don't really report all the details. They can't control inflation to begin with. We know that because they have no control over commodities, production, and geocosmic events and things on the planet and government actions and so forth, such as restricting the production of crude oil or restructuring the ability of farmers to farm and all this nonsense that's been going on. So, it's just crazy, crazy, crazy times. But the problem is, you know, they can lower rates a couple quarters and then come next year, inflation's back. It's really bad. We're going to have to raise rates again. That could happen. It could be a temporary situation. Maybe it runs through this year or into 2025, and then we find out in 2025-26 they're tightening rates again, and everything comes tumbling down in terms of the anguish over higher rates and what that would mean. But more importantly, is what the Fed's doing with that money supply. So things could turn, and you know, it doesn't mean they're going to keep coming down. It could be temporary, you know, like a couple quarters down, and then suddenly they go up. I remember Alan Greenspan back in the, 1980s. I mean, I wasn't the only one, but I would write about him and compare him to a New York City taxi cab driver where he would slam on the accelerator, that means lower rates, and then slam on the brakes, and then they go down, and then he would slam on the accelerator again, back and forth over the life of his term. And doesn't mean that won't happen again. So, and again, the rates are only part and parcel to the situation. There's really no talk about their intervention in the market. Like Japan virtually controls 80% of the equity market in Japan, and they don't talk about the U.S. affecting the stock market here with directly or indirectly with the plunge protection team or the equity stabilization fund created back in 1933-34 and the ability for the government to come in there and buy and trade the S&P or Dow Jones futures and move things around. They're doing it. They're just not talking about it. And none of the reporters asked the question. And I think if they asked the question, they probably deny it, even though there's great evidence that there is manipulation of the market. I remember after the crash in 87, so suddenly all this buying appeared the next morning after the day of the crash, and that was the Fed in there, or the plunge protection team with the government supporting the market. So it's already, the precedent is there. They trained Japan how to do it, and Japan's doing it all the time, or has done it. So it's a very interesting discussion. We live in a manipulated world, misinformation world, and if you're a trader, you just got to sort of play the swings and understand that the information you're getting, for the most part, is phony. You're being lied to. The media doesn't want to ask the right questions because they're trying to support the current president of the United States. So it's just wild out there. So I got off on a bit of a tangent here, but I usually reprint the article in my newsletter occasionally. The Creature from Jekyll Island book that really talks about the creation of the Fed and all the unscrupulous activity behind the Fed itself and its creation. Remember, the Congress created it. They could close it down too. And the day is coming. I don't know when, but it's not probably too far away after more missteps, as the Fed has already taken, giving zero interest rates for 10 years and then suddenly slamming on the brakes. They misjudge themselves. They have bad advice. And the worst people you can have running the Fed are economists. I'd rather have astrologers run the Fed. That makes more sense to me.
Well, an economist once was said to me, an economist has never met a regular person, but they've had one described to them.
Okay. It's a flow of money. That's why I do my volume work, and I do a lot of contrary thinking and watch the technicals and the tape. It's a tail wagging the dog. The free market really judges where interest rates are going. The bond market is not controlled by the Fed. The Fed only controls the short term, the overnight rates. So the bond market, which is the big market, moves ahead of the Fed and has been showing, a rally phase more or less in the last several months, telling the Fed, rates are going to come down here because you way overdid it. And ultimately the Fed succumbs to what the bond market is really saying. My thought is get rid of the Fed altogether, which is what the Creature from Jekyll Island book pretty much has been saying for decades, and let the free market decide rates. It decides the price of, I was going to say gold, but gold is manipulated too, but it seems to be breaking out a little bit of that manipulation, at least recently, because of foreign governments acting so aggressively in gold. But let the free market decide it. That would be the best decision. Of course, you can argue, look at Japan. They control the stock market over there and control it. Maybe they felt that they didn't do it, it would collapse. So, the free market can get pretty wild after a while, too. But I still think, Fed's been doing such a poor job over the decades since it was created back in 1913. I think a free market would make a better judgment about where interest rates should be versus what, their opinion and their actions.
And as our market historian Bob Hoy likes to point out, the Fed was allegedly created to stop depressions and recessions, and since it was created, there have been 18 depressions or recessions in the U.S.
Yeah, and Ben Bernanke, back in 2007, 2008, 2009, somewhere in there, he was interviewed, and he said, I actually used to have a slide on one of my PowerPoint presentations, essentially said, yes, we did it, it was our fault, or something to that effect, referring back to the 1930s, where the Fed raised interest rates at the time of the Great Depression, making the most stupid move it could ever make. So then he said in his quote, essentially, yes, we did it, it's our fault. And he actually came out and made that statement. I mean, that's enough in and of itself to close the Fed down. I mean, it's just over-the-top stuff. It's like, little kids with wide eyes and smiling faces looking up at daddy, and anything that daddy says is right, looking up at the government or looking at the Fed. And I look at these reporters at these events where they interview the Fed chairman. I guess if you spoke the truth or asked any of the questions I asked, they throw me out because they don't want the truth being spoken. You know, why are you so bad? What, look at the damage you've done. Why should we trust any of your statements or any of your decisions? And that's really what the question should be. And why are you allowed to exist? Why don't we just disband you based on your performance? If you're a money manager and you've lost all the money or caused all the damage that the Fed has done, you'd have been fired a long time ago. The Fed should have been fired. So anyway, that's the truth.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's going on with uranium?
Pulling back a little bit after a huge, huge advance, but I actually sold a couple uranium stocks, and we're watching for reentry. I still think big picture is very positive. It is tradable here, even though we rang a register, and one of the big names was Cameco CCJ, which is the biggest publicly traded name that I know of. And you know, everything has its cycles, up and down. I mean, you can ask me what's going on with Bitcoin. I mean, huge move, but then it ends up coming back. I think it's the same type of story. It's a cycle. It ran up to, you know, anticipation of a lot of things that may or may not have happened, and just got overbought. But I still think it's in play, and you just have to trade it in the meantime. I don't know when it's going to break out to a new high, but I'm sure it'll happen at some point. So we're just at a correction. And if you look at the price of uranium on the chart, I put that in my newsletter every day. It's about a week delayed. And it comes from the uranium source that puts it out, and you can see a little downtrend after a huge spike up. So it's in a corrective phase. It's the best answer I can give you. It's correcting the big run up. Doesn't mean it's over. It's just in a correction.
Anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Oh, there's so much. I don't even know where to get started. So let's talk about the big solar eclipse coming up on April 8th of this year. It's not too far from now. And, you know, there's concerns about potential catastrophic events coming up during the eclipse. There are three major earthquakes hit the New Madrid Fault within the year, and the largest being 8.8. The issue is that the eclipse crosses diagonally through the United States. These earthquakes could cause the Mississippi River to run backwards. It's on all this stuff that the research is saying that could happen if there was some dramatic earthquake activity. So the bottom line is solar eclipses are possibly tied to seismic activity. There has been some rumblings in Yellowstone recently. So there's a lot of, you know, research. You may say it's anecdotal, but the eclipse coming up April 8th, so there might be some effect on the markets. We'll see if any disasters unfold around that time. It's real interesting just to track this stuff. It's just one of the things that, you know, we monitor out there. You can say, oh, it's nonsense. Well, history says there has been some correlation here. There's some minor geomagnetic storms occurring on the sun right now. Interesting, out of the blue, spaceweather.com came out with a report that the polar vortex is spinning backwards. Earlier this month, atmospheric scientists indicated that something unusual was happening in the Arctic stratosphere, not the Antarctic. So the polar vortex was starting to spin backwards, which is unusual. So this may have been related to some of the solar activity. You know, just stuff that we watch out there. You know, I don't like surprises. You know, these are not generally talked about. We've got the new moon coming up on the 25th. You know, we're the 21st, so probably this rally in the stock market is a rally into that full moon. We find change of direction sometimes around the lunar cycles. Everybody's euphoric here, so that's also something to keep an eye on. Let's see what else is happening here. The fear index, the greed fear index that CNN puts out every day or periodically is still in the danger zone. You know, too much optimism out there about the markets, just as it swings to the pessimistic side during, you know, market corrections. I mentioned this last week or the week before. You know, Barron's magazine came out with that cover story here in the last 10 days. Bet on the Bull was the headline with the big bull right on the cover. I remember, I think it was March 10th, was it 1990? I think it was, that was the date when the similar cover story came out right that. It was right at the top of the NASDAQ before it collapsed that year. I believe that was the date. I'll have to double check that date. Let's say maybe it was March 20th, 2000. I may be wrong on the decade there. I think it was March 20th, 2000. And it was right at the top. So historically, cover stories on the part of the press is a reflection of over-optimism in the markets. And that's sort of a warning sign. And just the last few days, I think there was a Barron's story similar to this about gold, that it's a time to get into gold, and Barron's is telling you to buy gold. Well, gold's already had a big move here. I'm not saying it's not going higher, and I'm still bullish because of BRICS and what's going on with the dollar and so forth. But that worried me a little bit because I'm sort of a bull on gold, and you know, Barron's is telling us to buy gold, and I got to review and find that article again. But that sort of worried me. Also, look just where we are right now in the time cycles, talking about geocosmics. Date is March 21st, where the vernal equinox is right now, yesterday and today. And my headline in my newsletter is Behold the Vernal Equinox. So what happens? The market has this explosion right on the day of the Fed meeting, that was yesterday and today, right at the vernal equinox. I've been writing about this for years. I mean, these dates, you know, they mean something, and sometimes it's the exact date. Maybe it's a week or two on either side. So could the vernal equinox have been coincident with the top in the market here the last couple of days? Well, I've been pointing that out for a while, a big change of direction around that time, a lot of volatility. We saw a downer, then back up again. So, a lot of cool stuff out there. And finally, I just want to briefly touch on what's going on with the U.S. steel story. This really irks me a little bit because supposedly, Nippon Steel wants to buy U.S. steel, and suddenly it's become like a national discussion that a foreign company can't buy a domestic company because it's unpatriotic and we lose control and so forth. Well, I have a whole article in my newsletter about all the American deals that have been acquired or have done or owned by foreign companies. It's too long for us to get into this on this interview. But if you go to my newsletter, I mean, there's enough instances to say it's BS to talk about, Nippon Steel buying U.S. steel and affecting the integrity of the U.S. economy in some way. And it's just the opposite. If anything, they probably bring technology and money into U.S. steel and probably help the business. They're trying to negotiate, I think, with or talk to the labor unions here and so forth. So anyway, they knocked U.S. steel down. It was up around $50 a share, dropped about $35 when Biden starts talking about how he wants to investigate the efficacy of the U.S. steel deal. I'm long it. I bought it. I think, someone's going to buy it, and you're trading at a nice discount now that it's sold off. But the whole story that it's unpatriotic and it's bad for the country. I mean, you could argue, that's going on. They want to make a scene about this. Or what about all the Chinese buying farmland in the United States and all the other acquisitions that have occurred? And again, I don't want to go through the list here. It's like 30 items on the list, but, I'm just hanging out off the top of my head, like your neighbor grocery store, Trader Joe's. I'll just give you that as an example. I don't know if you have it in Canada or not, but it's all over the United States. It's owned by a German company called Albrecht Discounts, for example. So you got a major grocery store here in the U.S. There's others that have just come off the top of the list here, like the refrigeration pioneer Frigidaire, okay? Is owned by a Swedish multinational home appliance manufacturer called Electrolux. Okay. So your refrigerators in the United States are owned by a foreign company, for example. And this is stuff off the top of my head. Alka-Seltzer is owned by AG Bear from Germany, for example. Good Humor Ice Cream is owned by Unilever. Gerber, the baby food company, is owned by Nestle, which is a Swiss company. Firestone is owned by Bridgestone Corporation from Japan, so another Japan company. So I'm just throwing out a few examples here. So it's all a lot of BS, And ultimately, U.S. Steel's price will probably go up, whether it's another acquisition internally here or they'll let the Nippon deal go through. But I read all this stuff. It's all over the press. I mean, if you turn on the financial press, they're just talking about Nippon Steel and Biden opening his mouth about the economic negatives of that happening. The problem is the precedent has already been set. There's foreign investment all over the place, acquisitions of companies and land. So the whole discussion is preposterous. You know, it's like we're talking about the wrong thing at the wrong time. You know, if this was an issue, foreign companies would never have been allowed to buy anything in Canada or the U.S. So just want to make that point, Jim. I think it's a real interesting story and just another nonsensical event going on related to the media and a misunderstanding of what reality really is in the business world.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you.
My guest has been Mark Leibovitt, editor and publisher of the Leibovitt VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com, our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.